Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, Happy New Year, everybody. Appreciate everybody who's getting up with us, texting in. Appreciate you guys very much throughout the year. Hey, Sean and Seth, we are with you here in Schulenburg, west of H-Town on I-10. Happy New Year. Shout out to Schulenburg, man.
Schulenburg?
Yeah.
I feel like I was in Schulenburg for something once, and for some reason I can't go back. Okay.
Did you start a bar fight?
Probably. I was out there trying to get better at sports radio by living life.
That's it, man. That's it.
By sucking the marrow out of life.
That's it. If you're just getting up and you missed the first segment, you can find it on the podcast or on the rewind, but Seth and I basically just doled out all sorts of life advice for everybody, including read your receipts, apparently, at CVS. You're going to save a lot of money, according to Seth C. Payne.
I'm looking at Schulenburg. There's a model aircraft museum. That's interesting.
I feel like that would be right up your alley.
Looks like there's some kind of, there's a historical museum.
Mm-hmm.
There's old churches. This is the, ooh, that's a pretty old church. That's the Catholic church. We might have to go to Schulenburg. The first video, the first picture that pops up is an old barn with a rusty roof,
okay,
which I think looks pretty, but I'm guessing that might not be like the Chamber of Commerce picture they wanted up there. I remember when, there was a story about Michael Sam when he was first, entering the draft and everything. Because Michael Sam's from where? He's like somewhere south of Houston.
Yeah, correct? I forget where he's from. For those who and don't remember, that was like a decade ago. Michael Sam, first openly gay player to go into the draft. Yeah.
So, but the New York Times did an article where they clearly, like, let's make this look as much as like the guy from who's from some redneck town where they totally must hate all the gays and all that. And it was the picture they put of his hometown, wherever it was.
Hitchcock. Hitchcock, Texas.
Hitchcock. Yeah. It was just like a beat up, rusted out old tractor next to a dilapidated barn.
That's the town.
I'm like, all right, that's the town. Okay, great. We get what you're doing here. You know, it annoyed me. It annoyed me.
That sounds like something
I've never
like,
been to Hitchcock. I felt like I needed to defend Hitchcock.
That feels like something where you go, hey, Gemini, send me a picture of Hitchcock. And then they send you a rusted out barn with a tractor next to it. We start off 2025 with disrespect. And I know that's a strange way to want to come into the new year. But The Athletic has an article up. And I love when they do stuff like this. You know me. I love ranking everything. Seth, if I could power rank everything in my life, I would do it. This is a deluxe power ranking of front offices around professional sports across the four major sports, we'll call it, baseball, basketball, football, and hockey. And the pollsters in this are actual front office executives.
Right.
So it's a fun exercise.
These aren't some, like, nerdy, non-bar fighting sports writers.
That's
these
right.
Are,
that's
these
right.
are actual,
These are guys rating their peers. Yeah, they're rating their peers. So, number one, the Oklahoma. I'm not going to go through the entire list. They go down into the 60s. Let me put it this way. To get to a Houston team, you've got to skim down and skim down and skim down.
You've got to control F on it.
You got to control. Yes, you have to search find the word Houston. And just for purposes of like what's the gold standard, the Oklahoma City Thunder won this fairly substantially. They were viewed by far as the gold standard of a front office, and it's largely fueled by the Paul George trade for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and every first-round pick the Clippers have from now until Rapture. So they're number one. I'll just do the top five here real quick. Dodgers are number two. Ugh.
Yeah,
they pull out that checkbook, baby.
Yeah.
Baltimore Ravens, number three. That passes the smell test if we're just in the football world here. The Tampa Bay Rays, number four. Okay, keeping a team relevant on a shoestring budget. That's impressive. And then number five, just to close it out, is the Boston. Oh no, the Boston Celtics Dallas are six. Stars. Sorry, Dallas Stars five, which I'll take their word for it. I don't follow hockey super close. You've got to go all the way down to 40. Do I have that right?
40,
Seth?
40, yeah,
40 before you get to a Houston team, and it's the Houston Texans who got 14 votes in this whole thing. They're tied for 40 with the San Antonio Spurs. The Rockets are right after them, tied at 44 with a couple other teams, St. Louis Blues and Indiana Pacers. Yeah. You got to keep paging down and paging down and paging down.
I thought they were left off completely. I was scrolling so long. I thought it was an oversight of some sort.
You don't get to the Houston Astros. You don't get to the Houston Astros until 60, tied with a team that we are going to spend 20 minutes clowning at 7 o'clock today.
The Indianapolis Colts. The Colts were right after them.
The Astros are tied. They're viewed at their front office. The Astros front office is viewed as the exact same as the one where they have not won a division since they got there.
Sean,
Colts.
This is not even, like, I was trying to look for where I always felt most disrespected.
Right there.
I would say, no, it gets even worse than that. Because the other part is, all right, above the Astros or for the first Houston team, the ones that annoyed me were the Yankees and the Dodgers, just because the Yankees especially, if anything, they've just spent more money than anybody else, and it's evidence of them actually not being that good at it, because they can outspend everybody else by 50% or more and still just not even compete in a World Series.
They write more checks.
They were at a World Series. They did not compete in a World Series.
They write more checks than Seth Payne. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. So, no, but this is... So you've got the Astros at 60th.
Yeah.
The Colts tied for 60th.
Yes.
Then at 64th, a team that just had an expose about how dysfunctional and awful they are, tied there at 64, just four spots back from the Astros, the New York Jets.
Yeah.
So basically, the Astros are viewed with the same level of respect as other executives view the New York Jets. Oh, they got to have a purge in professional sports. I need half these people on the street. On the street by Friday. This is an injustice.
I do think, it's funny, not to refer back to the interview I did yesterday, but the other thing I said about success was respect of your peers. Like, respect of your peers is a big deal to me, And the Astros clearly do not have that. It's not just that they're tied for 60th, because you could, in your mind, you could go, oh, well, they're tied for 60th. I mean, there's 30-something teams in each of these sports. I mean, they are technically descending right now from their perch, which was very lofty. They've gone backwards each of the last 2 years. That's undeniable. And we'll see what happens this year. They're losing bigger pieces again this year in Tucker and Alex Bregman. But you look at it, you go, okay, well, at least they're in the middle of the pack. All right. But it's that they got five votes. Only five of these GMs around all of the sports felt like, I guess I'll put the Astros, who prior to this season had made seven consecutive ALCSs. And I'll remind you that the decline has not been, well, they won all these championships and then went into the toilet like the Rangers. The Rangers win a championship and then they go into the toilet last year. Like the Astros, it's been a slow bleed that, granted, has been largely fueled by the front office. Really bad decisions that were made after the World Series in 2022 have been a big damaging factor in all this. But my God, tied with the Indianapolis effing Colts? Are you kidding
me? Sean, to be clear, it's not necessarily that they got five votes. It's possible that they just got one third place vote,
which
would have given them 5 points. They have 5 points.
Oh.
So there's one guy. It might even be as bad as that, or it could be five. The fifth place vote would give you one.
Yeah.
So at least five. So perhaps five people voted for them five times. I don't know. But but it does make sense, and you can understand why that it's not up there ahead, because obviously when Jim Crane was the GM, that didn't go well, and now Dana Brown has kind of been in a he's charged with taking over an empire that's in need of repair and maintenance and everything else, and you're just not going to be able to to do it the same way you were doing it for years. Everything we know about, and it's I don't think it reflects poorly on Dana Brown. I think it's just the reality of the situation is that this is what he has to deal with, and there's going to be some messiness and sloppiness. I agree with you. I think they should deserve more credit for not being one of these dynasties that just, like the Patriots, just falls off a cliff all of a sudden as soon as they lose their quarterback.
Yep. Yeah, it's a little disrespectful. And you know who, you can feel the disrespect too. Maybe the Astros are a bit of a wounded animal right now because you got idiots like Jock Peterson sitting at his press conference. I guess he signed with the Rangers. Is that right? We've got him
he's
in the division
Ranger now. Yeah. And he fancies himself an Astros killer because he's won one World Series against them, but he's played two.
Yep. Here is Jock Peterson at his Texas Rangers press conference.
Played the Astros a couple times in the World Series, and they put together a nice little run, and it's coming to an end, and it's time for us to take over the West.
Yeah,
a nice little run.
Yes, that's what he called that. Yeah.
Oh,
and he's a guy who feels personally victimized by the Astros being mean to them in the World Series when he was with the Dodgers.
He tussled our hair, is what he just did right there.
Yeah,
he patted us on the head and said,
"With
his
big punchable face, his gigantically he's got a face larger than mine on a body that's much smaller, and I've got an incredibly large face. Even for I'm a large person, but my face is disproportionately large. And somehow, Jock Peterson, who I'm guessing weighs like 132 pounds, gigantic moon face.
Well, and he's got a punchable face that literally got punched." Was it last year or 2 years ago?
Was that Tommy Pham?
Tommy Pham walked up to him because there was some beef over fantasy football and decked him before a game. Like, literally, somebody walked up and punched him.
Did they ever prove that was because Jock Peterson was stealing money from the
league? That's what I'd like to think it is.
That was never an accusation, but I'm curious if just by chance maybe that was proven somehow.
Oh, that's funny. Text message.
I have zero memory of that other than the headline, and I'm guessing Tommy Pham was to blame.
It's Jock Peterson. I choose to believe he's right. I'm from Santa Fe, next to Hitchcock, far from country, LOL. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
See, that's what they showed when they showed Hitchcock. It was just like a dilapidated old, like, oh,
rusted out barn.
They love to paint Texas out with a broad brush, just whatever, like, yep, that's Texas.
That's Texas.
Probably somebody abusing somebody's rights in there. Yeah,
probably. do you agree with, forget about where they're ranked amongst the galaxy of teams, the three Houston teams are ranked Texans, Rockets, Astro. Do you agree with this? Do you agree with that being the order of the three teams right now?
I think the Rockets should be ranked the highest based on current. Going back to, honestly, again, with Dana Brown, not Dana Brown, but the thing about the Rockets was they kind of got dealt a hand in the James Harden departure that I feel like the initial PR on it was that it was a horrible trade and everything else, and that almost kind of stuck to where people haven't recognized how well they've maneuvered and drafted and kind of put things together after just being left for dead because their star player had sabotaged everything.
Yeah.
Like, Harden had brought in Westbrook, then Westbrook wanted out. He couldn't live with Chris Paul before that. Harden takes off.
Yep.
And to get back to where they are right now, I don't think they're getting nearly enough credit. And I'll tell you another one that I don't think that I'm curious around this, around league executives. Hiring Udoka, when all those other stupid executives that are voting in this poll could have hired Udoka, they got scared because they didn't want to look at the entire scenario. In their minds, they're like, well, nope, that looks a little too much like a possible Me Too scenario. I don't even want to touch it. Like, I credit the Rockets for saying, all right, let's see this for what it is and see that it's different than a lot of the other stuff. And they brought him in. Udoka would have taken probably several other jobs before he took the Rockets jobs if they had been coming after him.
Yeah. Well, and it was, in everything you hear or read about the process to get there, this wasn't Tillman just rolling the dice that everybody was going to be okay with it. They talk, the Rockets have a female president of the team, Gretchen Shear, who's awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody was involved in that, in vetting it out, and it's turned out so far, it's, you know, they're now in year two of it. But like, if we're just to take the last couple of years, you know, go back to the offseason where they hired Udoka, it's been one of the most impactful moves across any of these sports, not just basketball. Like, he has completely changed the culture of that team. He took young players who either did not have that dog in them or had it like wrung out of them by the Steven Silas era and has put it back in them or has put it in them to begin with. You know, like, it's, man, from top to bottom, that is an organization that marches to the beat of Ime Udoka's drum. So that's been huge. I'm I think there's a lot of similarities with the Texans and the Rockets. I think the other thing with the Rockets too, they had all those first round picks. And I would argue, given where those picks were, they've hit on all of them. They've hit on all of them. They had two first-round picks each year for 3 years. We'll wait and see what Reed Sheppard is with the third pick, but it almost doesn't even matter anymore. They've got those core six guys. And, you know, Jalen Green, has he lived up to being the number two overall pick? I don't know. He just got a second contract, and he averages 20 points a game. To me, the most impressive thing is the guys they've taken at 16 and 17 and 20, you know, that they traded in back in to get Alperen Şengün, who's going to be an all-star, that they drafted Tari Eason, who's super impactful at 17, that they recovered from the trauma of not getting Victor Wembanyama to get Amen Thompson at 4, who looks like, at the very least, he's going to be one of the most impactful players in the league on one side of the basketball defensively. Yeah, they've done a good job, man.
And Dylan Brooks working out. I'll tell you this, in terms of, I feel a little disrespected that the Rockets are 44, and Daryl Morey's front office up in Philadelphia is 48th. I feel like those are too close. Daryl Morey, as a GM and as a talent evaluator, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, he's done great things. But as currently constructed, I feel a lot better about the Rockets than I do the 76ers.
I feel a lot better about the Rockets than I do a lot of teams. Are we feeling the same way about the Texans as currently constructed?
And they're only four above the Cowboys, too. Yeah. The Rockets are only four above the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's crazy. How close are the Texans in your mind to where if you have the Rockets one, how close are the Texans in terms of what they are? Because Nick's done a lot of amazing things with the Texans, too.
I would say they're maybe kind of a year behind.
Yeah.
And part of that is, you know, in football, it's a huge roster to turn around. I mean, without being just overly soft here, I think the big step would be if they can get some guys offensively, or if they can somehow find a way to play on offense the way they play on defense, then I'll start to feel like, all right, they got something going here. I mean, it's one of the most curious things is that, man, they've got all these guys on defense who play like absolute maniacs. And then on offense, you just have very few of those guys who feel that way. The old, like, who would you want with you in a bar fight?
Yep.
They're almost all on defense. And then Joe Mixon, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like Nico might be a little too much of a peacekeeper. And he's got the arm length to do it. Let me at him, Nico.
No,
he's trying to be a peacekeeper.
He did truck that defensive back twice last year against the Colts.
True. He's got hatefulness.
Hatefulness he's got.
That's true.
Nick's done an incredible job of pulling them out of the muck. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. He inherited the worst situation in my mind of any GM in the history of the sport when you add everything up. The cap, the draft, lack of draft capital, the salary cap was butchered, the roster stunk, the quarterback wanted out, and then it turns out the quarterback really got loose in some massage sessions, as it turns out, allegedly, according to several lawsuits. Like, that was bad. Did a great job getting them. They're a playoff team now. They are a playoff team now. This fixing of the offense that has to take place in the offseason will be the hardest. That'll be the second hardest project he's had to undertake, next to just getting this team out of the quicksand. This is a project. If this is what it is, unless they go on some run here that I don't anticipate, this is a project this offseason that starts with the offensive coordinator, and it probably ends with having to do some sort of redo along the offensive line.
They've given some money to guys that I don't feel like are the ideal swarm type candidates.
I'm with you, man.
I think that that's the tough part, is you got to extricate yourself from that somehow.
Yeah, and it's going to be expensive, depending on who the guy or guys are that they move on from. All right, so good. A little disrespect to start off the year. Let's get to headlines coming up next. Hey, a familiar face back in the building for the Texans. They actually had some success against the Steelers. We've got the Amen Thompson suspension nailed down now. A lot of stuff to get to in big college football going on yesterday, including right here in Houston. We'll do that in headlines coming up next.